With today being St. Patrick's Day, I wanted to explore the history and heritage of this much-loved patron saint of Ireland and the worldwide celebrations marking his feast day. St. Patrick is one of Christianity's most widely known figures, but many details about the life of this 5th century missionary and bishop are little known. To find out more, we turned first to Father Bill Swan, an Irish priest. He's director of formation at the Irish College in Rome and studied the life and writings of St. Patrick for his thesis. He told my colleague Lydia O'Kane why he finds Patrick so fascinating.
I think that in any time of crisis, a fitting response is always to go back to the basics. Okay, and in the time of crisis that the Irish Church is living through at the moment, and few would deny that, it's a time for us to go back to the basics to reconsider the essence, if you like, of our calling and the essence of this way of life that we try to live together as Christians. And I'm firmly convinced that someone like St. Patrick, who stands at the very origin of our Christian tradition, has a tremendous amount to teach us about these times that we are living through. We mustn't forget that Patrick faced crisis too. You know, he speaks about every day being, he wasn't guaranteed that by the end of the day he'd still be alive. Such were the dangerous conditions in which he travelled, and the people, the pagans to which he preached, to whom he preached. So it was a time of crisis for him as well. But, you know, for him, it was always back to this basic conviction of what he was doing was a response to a vocation. He spoke about the love of the God as Trinity, of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And one of the beautiful things about Patrick's writings and teachings is that he consistently follows, there's a consistency between his mission and between his doctrinal teaching. It's a seamless garment, that the God he proclaimed doctrinally was the same God that he envisaged, whose teachings followed through, if you like, on a social vision of unity and of inclusion within the life of God. And for Patrick, the most important thing was faith in God, faith in Christ, and that people would come to see themselves as being sons and daughters of God, as brothers and sisters and co-heirs of Jesus Christ. And I believe that it's a time in which all of us as Christians are being called back to that basic truth time and time again. And I believe that if and only when we do, then the structural changes or whatever and follow on. But it's a time of rediscovering this fundamental and basic communion of faith, communion in Christ, a shared life in Him, as faith in the Trinity and the unity of all things in God.
Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ before me today. Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ.
Father Swan goes on to describe St. Patrick's adventurous life and explain why he finds him such a fascinating figure.
I suppose the context of my study of Patrick goes back to childhood, really, and the way we were introduced to the story of St. Patrick in school, always around this time of the year, in preparation for the celebration of St. Patrick's Day on the 17th of March. And even before I began to study him in detail in a scholarly way in the two letters that he wrote back in the 5th century, I always thought that his story was fascinating, about how he was captured as a young boy of 16. He lived on the west coast of Britain at that time, and he was brought to Ireland here, where he worked for 6 years. As a slave. It always fascinated me, the story of how it unfolded, how he was in slavery for 6 years in Ireland, how he managed to escape back to his family in Britain after that time, but that shortly afterwards how he felt and heard the call of the Irish to return to them as a missionary, and how he returned to Ireland, how he responded positively with generosity and courageously to that call to go back to the people who had wronged him, if you like, who had taken away his youth in slavery, and how he returned to those people as a missionary bishop and as one of the first missionaries and most successful missionaries ever, and brought the Christian faith basically to the pagan Irish. And it's a story that continues to fascinate me. It's one of mission, it's one of vocation, it's one of redemption, and it's one of forgiveness. And I think it has his story has a lot to teach us today about our experience of God, how God calls him, as he called him, so he continues to call us, and that the transforming way that God offered himself to Patrick as he continues to do so generously to us.
I'll come back to the issue of mission just in a moment. There was another thing I was thinking about when I was looking at questions to talk to you about, and one was St. Patrick and creation. Creation, I mean, it's something that Pope Benedict has talked a lot about recently, you know, respect for creation. We've seen a lot with regard to respecting the environment. We've seen so many conferences on climate change, that kind of thing. When you think of someone, you think about St. Patrick as being the shepherd, someone out in the open, someone out in the green, someone with a deep love for creation. Is that how you would picture him as well?
Absolutely, especially in his both periods of his time in Ireland. The first as a slave boy, he tells us in chapter 16 of his Confessio how he was shepherding flocks and how he went up to mountains to pray and how he offered numerous prayers to God. And he uses language that he expects us to know, namely that of biblical language. And when, for example, just as an example, when he tells us that he climbed mountains to pray, there's a connection obviously there with Moses and Sinai and Theophany and Revelation and that kind of themes there. And, you know, he describes the physical hardships of severe Irish weather that anyone from Ireland is well familiar with. So we have this picture of him on the west coast of Ireland, probably somewhere in Western Mayo, back in the 5th century, minding flocks for his slave master. And, you know, the days and the nights of loneliness and solitude, but also communion with nature at that time. St. Patrick describes a time of his slavery as a time of his conversion, basically, that reorientated his life around towards God and towards a relationship of love with God as Father, Son and Holy Spirit. And then, of course, from his story as well, when he came back to Ireland as a missionary bishop, it's not exactly as if he, you know, conducted his evangelization in nice, comfortable, warm houses and palaces. Nothing could be further from the truth. We very much have the picture of him as preaching to people outdoors, of traveling to where no one else had preached before, to where no one else had brought the Christian message, and a life basically of uncertainty, of hardship. But this is what the commitment that he was, such was his desire for mission. But to come back to your question, very much that time we can imagine him as someone who's close to nature. And just to conclude, in the fourth chapter of his Confessio, which is a creedal statement, which is a summary of the Christian faith, he talks about that all things were created in God. And that connects with a very early Christian theme that the fathers of the church expressed, namely that all things originated in God, as God the Father, were made through Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit.
When St. Patrick came to Ireland and was immersed with the people, I mean, was he an outcast in some way? Did some people want him there? Was he seen as someone who was just coming in, and was it always welcome what he was doing?
Not always, because there's a number of complex themes in Patrick's two letters. He very often conveys a sense of working in isolation at times, in his own words. However, we do know from other things he said that he was conscious of other Christians who were there with him. He describes himself and others as the letter of Christ, for example. This corporate sense of identity of a group of people who were representing the presence of Christ in Ireland at the time. It's known he had some points of difference with the seniores, he calls them, which most scholars would agree are senior churchmen back in Britain who had difficulties with his mission and with what he was trying to do in Ireland. And there is evidence from his letters as well that a lot of the difficulties that others would have had with Patrick were one because of his perceived lack of education, and secondly, that as many considered that the attempt to evangelize the pagan Irish was a waste of time or was unheard of, for two reasons primarily. One was that because they were outside of the boundaries of the Roman Empire, beyond Britain, and secondly, that the Irish were so barbarian, so inhumane, that any attempt to bring the gospel to them or to civilize them was doomed to failure. And Patrick, from his story, he trusted in what God was trying to ask him to do. And there's a beautiful line in one of his chapters where he said he stayed with the Irish because they too belonged to the nations. This was before their conversion. The context in which he speaks is before their conversion. So in every pagan, in every body, Patrick saw a potential Christian and as a child of God and as some way belonging to God. And that's one of the things that I love about the story of Patrick, and I believe that he's so much to teach us about Christian mission today.
We see all over the world, not even just in Ireland, but all over the world, people get involved in St. Patrick's Day. Do you think the Irish have lost the sense, the essence of St. Pat, the day itself, what it's about, the feast, the person, what goes behind the actual celebrations? Do you think that we think that the people in Ireland need to get back to basics as well with regard to, yes, it's great to celebrate the day and have a kind of a week of festivities, but also to maybe just take time to contemplate what you're actually celebrating?
I think it's a very good question, Lydia, and I think you're right. There is a certain element of confusion that seems to be increasing of what exactly it is we are celebrating on St. Patrick's Day. St. Patrick's Day is primarily about mission. It's not primarily a celebration of Irishness, even though that's part of that. But St. Patrick, and the proof of that is that St. Patrick wasn't actually an Irishman. He originally was from Britain. And so therefore, St. Patrick is a figure of unity where we celebrate the achievements and the vocation and call to mission that all of us share in. And it's very interesting, I just bring to your listeners the attention to the fact that in his letters and his teachings, St. Patrick always, he never distinguished between anybody on the island of Ireland. He always talked about Irish Christians as being the one gens or one people, the plebs domini, the people of God in Ireland as a nation, that he wanted to join with the other nations on the face of the earth that would be joined to the church, the universal family of the church. So therefore, it's entirely fitting that St. Patrick's Day is celebrated from places to the United States, to Australia, to New Zealand, to Nigeria, because all of those, on St. Patrick's Day, in all of those countries, we join together in celebrating the missionary achievements and spirit, not just achievements, but spirit of this man that continues. It's the spirit that all of us are continuing to share in modern times and in the current age, that of mission, that of making Jesus Christ known and loved throughout the world and of carrying his salvation to the ends of the earth.
That was Irish priest Bill Swan talking to Lydia O'Kane.